Acts chapter number 25, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Acts 25, verse number 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. When he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. When he was come, the Jews, which came down from Jerusalem, stood round about, laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered him for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Verse number 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, and answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. Let us pray this morning. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's perfect, it's infallible, it's inspired, and God, it's exactly always right on time. Lord, I pray this morning, God, you'd help me to decrease so that you can increase. Lord, as I've prayed so many times behind this pulpit, God, we don't need to hear from me. Lord, we don't need to hear from a man. God, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that your word and the teaching and the preaching of it would do in our hearts and our minds what only it can do. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you do in our hearts and our minds this morning. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. The effects of sin are real in this world. We see it all around us, the depravity of man. Today, we see the effects of sin that began in the Garden of Eden since the fall. Evil, corruption, hate, temptation, destroyed lives. We see it, Satan at work in this world. We see it. And even in our text, Paul was experiencing the effects of it. In chapter number 24, if you remember, we saw Paul on trial before Felix, the accusations, the defense, Felix trying to get Paul to pay him to let him go, Paul continuing to preach the gospel, continuing to defend his innocence against false accusations. The accusation specifically of defiling the temple. The accusation specifically of being a nuisance in society, stirring up political issues. And Paul once again says, if I'm guilty of anything, it is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you remember, Felix ends up putting Paul away and kind of just putting him to the side. And he sat there in prison for 2 years. If you remember the last verse of chapter number 24, look at chapter 24, look at the last verse. But after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews pleasure, left Paul down. So Felix ends up here, stepping off the scene, and Festus, anybody else go right to Gunsmoke when I say Festus? I got no studying done this week. I saw Festus, and I was binge-watching Gunsmoke this week. But Festus comes on the scene, and basically what is happening here is Festus is replacing Felix. So picture the scene. Paul, for 2 years here, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, and he's just sitting there because Felix, if you remember, he knew that Paul was innocent. So he's kind of like Pilate. He didn't want to convict him. He didn't want that blood on his hands. So he passes him to his predecessor. That's where we pick up our story in verse number 1. Look at your Bibles, chapter number 25, verse number 1. And stay with me this morning, a very helpful practical message this morning. Now when Festus was coming to the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Verse number 2. Then the high priest. Now remember, the high priest here very corrupt. He's the one that over and over bringing up these charges against Paul and the chief of the Jews, the leader of those elders, man, those corrupt elders, corrupt religion, corrupt politics, look, informed him against Paul and beset him. So the first thing that these jokers do on Festus's first day in office, they come to him and they once again bring up these charges against Paul. They will not let it go. They are already trying to manipulate. They are already trying once again to rid the world of Paul the apostle and the message that he is preaching. It is that, listen, this is a perfect example of the power of evil and at sin at work in this world. Look at verse number 3. Desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait and way to kill him. Since they had no luck with Felix, look what they do. They come to Festus and they realize they're probably not going to have any luck with him. So they immediately begin to try to manipulate him. Why don't you take him to Jerusalem? And it says here, these jokers, they're so mad that, and they're so tired of this that they're going to ambush Paul on his way to being brought to, listen, to Jerusalem. Man, this is what sin does. This is what evil does. So listen, his imprisonment here, this is interesting, seems, even his imprisonment in prison, seems like the providence and the protection of God. Because here's the deal. If Paul is not under the protection of Felix first and Festus second, guess what? These Jews are going to kill them. This is another example of God even using a situation that to us may seem like an inconvenience, may seem like persecution, may seem like a quote-unquote problem, but it's the plan of God, the providence of God, the protection of God. Look at verse number 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would be shortly hither. So at first, Festus kind of ignores their question. He says, no, we're going to keep him here. Look at verse 5. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. So what Festus is doing here, he says, hey, get your leader. Let's go down there. Let's lay out the case against Paul. Verse number 6. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought to him. So he says, bring Paul to me. Verse number 7. When he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. And that's what, I don't think we catch this necessarily. For over 2 years now, over and over, they are falsely accusing him. They could not prove the charges they were making. This is what was happening. They were straight up lying. Listen, and you got to think of who this is. This is the leaders. These are the political leaders and the religious leaders are straight up lying because they hated the message that Paul was preaching of the gospel. So they look at this new leader, Festus, and say, here's what's going on. They couldn't prove. They couldn't back up. They are falsely accusing. What this reminded me of just real quickly, and this isn't the message this morning, but do not believe everything that you read and everything that you hear. I'm just being honest with you. Listen, even here, what were the political and religious leaders doing? They were lying. They were making false accusations. You can't believe everything you read. Hey, just because somebody shared it on Facebook don't mean it's true. Some of us buy into a bunch of junk because we're reading trash that people share, okay? Be careful about that because people lie. That's what was happening here. And think, this is the high priest, a religious leader, political leader. The Jews, they're lying. Look at verse number 8. By the way, who's the father of lies this morning? It's Satan. He's a deceiver. And you know, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, but you know what he wants to do? He wants to deceive you. He was wanting to deceive these leaders to stop the gospel. When I first read this, I was like, what in the world's going on here? We got to understand there's a whole lot more going on than meets the eye in our lives and in Paul's lives at this time. Look at verse number 8. Look what Paul does. while he answered himself. So he gives them they can't prove this. So Paul gets the chance to answer himself. Look what he says again, verse number 8. Neither against the law of the Jews. He says, I haven't sinned against the law of the Jews. Neither against the temple. I didn't profane or corrupt the temple. Nor against Caesar have I offended anything at all. Once again, this will be the third year now. He's making the same defense. He's sticking to his story. Look at verse 9. But Festus, willing to do the Jews' pleasure, look what he does, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem? So he ends up giving in to their request. Now think with me here. Festus, like Felix, like Pilate, like many political leaders, wants to please people. He suggests what the corrupt high priest and the corrupt elders has already suggested. Do you want to go up to Jerusalem to be tried? Look at verse 10. So how does Paul respond? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. Remember, he's a Roman citizen. And of the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. So for a Roman citizen, the Jews couldn't do anything to him. It had to go to Caesar. Paul knew that. The leaders knew that. So Paul brings that up. Look at verse number 12. So Paul straight up, look what he says. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. He says, listen, if I'm guilty, go ahead and kill me. Man, go ahead and try me. But if there be none of these things whereof you accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal, here it is, I appeal unto Caesar. Now look how Festus responds. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. See, he ends up, man, blessing his request. And we're going to see in our next text next week, he sends him first to King Agrippa, and then, an awesome story begins to unfold. Now, I want you to think with me this morning. As I was reading this, I had a couple thoughts, and just want to share a few things from this text with you this morning. Paul was not just fighting against the high priest and the elders. There's a whole lot more going on here. Let me say it this way. There was a lot more going on in Paul's day than he realized, and then that we even realize. There's a lot more going on in our day. I think sometimes we forget that there is a spiritual battle that is going on in our world. There was a spiritual battle going on in Paul's world. There is a spiritual battle going on in your world. Many times, most of us are so unaware of what's really going on behind the scenes, because we don't, number one, many of us don't acknowledge God daily, and many of us don't even think about spiritual things throughout the day. Here, let me just give you 2 points. There's only 2 points to today's message. Don't get excited. It's a long sermon. Somebody help me this morning. Number one, Paul's day and our day, Satan is at work in this world. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, listen, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We must remember that in Paul's day and in our day, Satan hates God's people. Satan hates God's message. Many times we're blind to it. Isaiah 14, if you go study it sometime, what Isaiah 14 does is the prophet Isaiah explains the fall of Lucifer. The fact is this, Lucifer wanted to be God. He wanted to have God's throne. He hates that he cannot have it. His pride caused him to fall. His pride will eventually call his imminent judgment. I just want to tell you, the church this morning, the forces of evil are real. Satan is real. He is the accuser. He is a liar. In Paul's day, if you would have been a New Testament Christian, you would have probably thought that Satan was winning in this world. Paul's in prison. Christians are being killed everywhere. Politicians are deceiving. They are lying. Religious leaders are abusing. They're corrupted, scheming to get what they want. Sin was at work in that world. Listen, Satan, sin, I think sometimes we forget, it's all been jacked up since the Garden of Eden, right? Sin has been here since the Garden of Eden. And think about this, that perfect place with that one thing that they could not have, but they wanted. What did Satan do? He came before Eve and he enticed her to fall. And ever since the fall in the garden, we have been in a spiritual battle ever since. He enticed her by the lust of the eyes. He enticed her by the lust of the flesh. He enticed her by the pride of life. And let me just say, church, this morning, he did the same thing to the Jews. He did the same thing to the elders. He had done the same thing to the high priest. And he wants to do the same thing to you. Satan and sin. Man, he does the same to us. Ever since the garden, this is what he had tried to do. This is why the high priest and the Jews were messed up. We forget this. He has caused us, and he's tried. When he talked to Eve, what did he say? He questioned God's word. He said, "Yea, hath God said." He questioned God's word. Since the garden, Satan has tried to get God's people to question his word. He's hated God's word. This battle between good and evil, this battle between right and wrong, this battle between truth and lies. You see, the sin that started and began in the garden has cursed us for the rest of our lives here on this earth. Think about this. Because of, you say, "Preacher, I don't experience this." Yeah, if you're human, you do. Because of sin, there's pain in childbirth. Because of sin, there is the fact that we have to work by the sweat of our brow in order to eat. Because of sin, here's a big one, there is death. Sin, and this is important, we've got to understand this morning because there's a lot, this is orthodoxy, what I'm about to teach you. There's a lot of liberal theology today that says it's not true. Listen, sin has infected us all. We are not born inherently good. That is a lie that liberal theologians and even some preachers will want you to hear today. Oh, we're all just good. You've got to find the good in everyone. There's no good in any of us. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58:4, the psalmist said this, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go estranged as soon as they be born, speaking their lies." Listen, we are sinners from the time we're little kids. I'll hear people say, "Oh, we're good." No, we're not. There is no goodness in it. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, it may sound good in conversation, but let me tell you what the Bible says. Romans 3:10, we memorized this one when we were little. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, by as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men." Why? "For all have sinned." You see, Satan's real and sin's real. And we must wake up and we must be aware. As 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse number 9, "Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And here, verse number 19 of Romans chapter number 5, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, aren't you thankful? So the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Listen, Paul, in his prison cell, in his persecution, all that he had gone through, is seeing firsthand the effects and the attacks of sin in this fallen world. And I just want to remind you this morning, the whole Jewish, listen, all of Israel, man, listen, they were deceived. They had been deceived. I'm afraid that so many of us, if we're not careful, sit in church week after week, sing the praises of God, and even serve, and maybe we will be deceived or have been deceived. You know, Satan makes some promises he cannot keep. I'm just telling you. He makes some promises he cannot keep. He promises freedom. But you know what he always brings? Bondage. Think about this. Paul's sitting in the prison cell. The Jews and the high priest may seem free. He may seem like he was in bondage. But I got news for you. Paul was free. They were in bondage. They were going to experience judgment. Paul was going to experience life. Is everybody tracking me on this? That's what Satan promises. Listen, he promises freedom, but he always brings bondage. He promises victory. That's what he promised Eve. But you know what he always brings into your life, my life, Eve's life, Paul, the Jew? He brings defeat every single time. How about this one? He promised fulfillment, but he always brings emptiness. Think of how many times Satan will deceive people into thinking. The Jews thought if they wiped Paul out, if they wiped his message out, man, they would finally have fulfillment. They wouldn't have to mess with him no more. Listen, he promises fulfillment, but he brings emptiness. I can't tell you how many people sat across my desk in the back of that hallway who thought that the lies of Satan were going to bring them fulfillment, and they got deceived, and the only thing that it brought was emptiness, heartache. Can't tell you how many Christians that have sat in this room and get up and, man, preach my guts out week after week that right now I'm talking about many, many, many couples that sat right where you're sat, that sang in the choir, that served in the church, that preached sermons, that prayed prayers around the altar, and right now their train wrecks because Satan deceived them. That's what he is. He's a deceiver. Man, he wants you to buy into a lie that if you leave your spouse and you go with someone else, that it's going to fulfill the hole that's in your heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's going to bring brokenness. It's going to bring heartache. It's going to bring tears into your life. Listen, he promises that he's going to give you some. That's what he promised Eve since the beginning. He promises happiness. He always brings heartache. He promises life. Let me tell you what he brings. He brings death. And I just want to tell you this morning, don't buy in to Satan's lies. He's been deceiving since the beginning of time. And he wants to tell you, listen, that his way is the best way. No, it's not. It's not worth it this morning. And that's some bad news, isn't it? But aren't you thankful that because of that bad news, the story wasn't over? There's some good news. Paul's in the prison cell. The forces of Satan in that world may seem like it's wanting. But here's just a simple truth we all must grasp. Here's number two. Number one, Satan is at work in this world. Number two, real simple. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Now, I want you to think with me. This is hard. This is one of the hardest things in my life as a Christian to wrap my mind around. It's this. God allows things to happen. I don't like this. There's nothing in this world, I've said this a lot lately because we need to get this, that God does not either allow or decree. Nothing surprises him. He knows. We've seen this through the entire book of Acts. God allowed persecution. God allowed suffering. God allowed sin. God allowed Satan to have some power and some influence. Our text is a great reminder of the providence and protection of God. If Paul's not in custody, the Jews would have already killed him. As we've seen, the prison cells of Paul's life many times were the blessings of God in disguise. What you're going through in your life right now, it may seem like you're in a prison cell. It may seem like God is not at work. We don't always understand why God allows things to happen. But here's one thing we can't understand, and we must understand, that God is always in control. So think about Paul's time. In Paul's day, the system was messed up, right? I mean, they're lying. He's going to get tried. Jesus, I mean, the whole system is messed up. But guess who was still in control? God was. In Paul's day, the government was corrupt. But guess who was still in control? God was. In Paul's life, the prison cell was unfair, but God was still in control. In Paul's life, persecution seemed unjust, but God was still in control. Let me just tell you this. In 2021, it may seem like the world's losing its mind, but God is still in control. And I have people ask me, now, preacher, do you think we're living in the end times? That's what everybody wants to know. When are you going to preach on Revelation? They like that stuff. When are you going to preach on angels and demons? I don't know. The former bores me, and the latter scares me. Somebody help me. I don't know. But everybody wants to know. This is the only thing I know. Is we're one day closer today than we've ever been. Something we got to realize. I get tired of doomsdayers. People say, well, it's never been this bad in the world. And you may be right, but it's been pretty bad. It was so bad one time that he wiped out everybody but one family. Right? We forget that. We forget that Paul's a preacher and he's sitting in the prison cell. It's always been bad. Listen, because of sin, this earth has always been corrupt. Man, it may seem like Satan's winning. It may seem like Satan is having his hour here on this earth, but here's the thing. By God's grace, this is awesome, God made a way to overcome Satan and sin. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, by also the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I love this. Ephesians 2:8-9, we could quote it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By God's grace, here's the good news. God is going to eventually settle the score. He will, in the end, win the victory. I love Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's how he closed the book of Romans. He said, listen, Satan is going to lose. He's going to be defeated. I love this one, Revelation chapter 20. Let me read this to you. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil, here it is, that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and I love this, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here's the thing. Paul, the early Christians in 2021, you may feel like Satan is winning, but make no mistake, God still reigns. God is in control. God made a way. God made a way, first of all, for victory over sin, salvation through Jesus for those that believe. And let me just say this morning, if you have never believed, don't leave here today without trusting Christ as your Savior from sin, from yourself, and from hell. You can be pardoned this morning by the blood of the Lamb. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For, and this is where I think sometimes we forget this. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Here's the thing. You know, before salvation, we were all enemies of God. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes as American Christians, we think we're pretty special. Before salvation, you were an enemy of God. If you're not saved in here this morning, you could be the most moral, religious person sitting in this room. By the way, the Jews were moral and religious, gag a maggot this morning. People that place more emphasis on works than the grace of God don't understand the grace of God. Works don't produce grace. Grace produces works. You don't get approval because you do things. There's only one way this morning you get approval, and it's by the blood of the Lamb. Can I just say this morning? I just want to, and I know I'm preaching hard this morning. Here's the thing. So many people will sit in church for years of their life. So many people will sing the songs of Zion. So many people will worship and even serve. But they'll be like the Jews, the high priest, and the elders. There's a big difference between being religious and being saved. There's a lot of people that would even sit in here this morning. Listen, and I just want us to stop and think it. We hear it all the time. We hear the gospel preached all the time. Paul has preached the gospel to the high priest. He's preached it to elders. He's preached it to Felix. He's preached it to Festus. He's going to preach it to King Agrippa. He's going to go on and on and preach it. And they all rejected it. The evil, man, they rejected it. Festus heard it, rejected it. Those that rejected it, here's the thing. No matter who you are, there's coming a day, listen, that every knee's going to bow. It will be too late at that moment. There is coming a day when every tongue will confess. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, because we're all sinners, guess what comes next? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The message that Paul was preaching, some accepted it and some rejected. The message we preach, some will accept, and some will reject. The gift is free to us, but a great price was paid. And can I just say this? And I know we're in the South and everybody's saved, but I want you to think of this. If you have never called on the name of the Lord for your salvation, I just want to encourage you to do that today. Listen, this is the message Paul was preaching. Romans 10:9. That if thou, and here it is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, listen, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's the thing. There's people that sit in our churches week after week that repeated some prayer one day, some magic words, and have never been saved by the grace of God. You know why we love, you know why we lose teenagers? You know why young adults aren't in church anymore? You know why adults who've been religious their entire lives aren't there anymore? Because they've never been saved. They thought they said some magic words. They've never been regenerated. This talk of asking Jesus into your heart. No, you better believe it in your heart. You better confess it with your mouth. Is everybody waking here this morning? Let me just say it this way. Don't go to hell from here. You are in a gospel preaching, Bible preaching church. Don't let pride, like the high priest and the Jews who were religious, keep you from having a relationship with Jesus. What's happened in our churches, and this is unfortunate, is we try to clean everybody up and make them look like us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to change them into who He wants them to be. We have a bunch of unregenerated people singing in the choir, preaching. Is everybody tracking with me here? And I'm not just saying here, I'm saying all over. Because the Jews and the religious leaders, it was easy to fit in their box because you could check that stuff off. The reason they didn't like Paul is because at one time he had checked all that off. But then God got a hold of a man and changed his life. And when God gets a hold of you, hey, those things that you used to thought bring you approval, it's not, see, we just think if you get saved, there's stuff you don't do. No, there's some things you used to do even that you thought you were doing for God that you don't have to do anymore. That's what the liberty and the freedom is, because it's not your righteousness. Because if you could earn it, you could lose it. Man, it's about God's grace and accepting it. If you've never done that today, can I just encourage you this? If God's drawing you, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, man, I'd love to take a Bible. Pastor Stu would love to take a Bible. Pastor Colin would love to take a Bible. One of our men would love to take a Bible and not tell you what man says, but tell you what God says, how you can have a relationship with Him, how you can no longer be an enemy, how you can be reconciled to your Creator and your Father. Don't leave here today if you've never done that. Confess and believe. By God's grace, God changed Paul's life. And let me just tell you this morning, I want y'all to listen to me. By God's grace, He can change your life. I talk to people so often that just feel like they ain't good enough. I don't think God could ever forgive me. I just want to tell you this morning, His grace is sufficient. There is nothing outside of rejecting Him, listen, that He will not forgive. You may be in here this morning. You may be sitting in church this morning hungover. You may feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. You may have been places this week nobody else knows about in your mind. Right? You may have, I think sometimes we like to have our categories of sin. By the way, I can help the addict. I can't help the prideful Pharisee. One knows they have a problem. The other one thinks they're okay. Why do you think the Jews were the issue here? Why do you think the religious people are the issue? Why do you think many times the independent Baptists, we the issue? We gotta get this thing right once in a while. I mean, we gotta understand that it's His imputed righteousness. Just like that sin from Adam, man, it's God's righteousness on us. Our works, our standards, our service is in response to His love that He has for us, not the other way around. It's not to earn. When you can figure that out in your life, it's a great place to be. I mean, so maybe you're here this day, just two questions this morning that I just want to propose to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been in church your entire life. You've heard sermons. You sang. You've served. You've been involved. But you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Can I just tell you, He wants to save you today and we will rejoice with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been in church for a long time and you are saved. But you've got a little cold. You've got a little indifferent. I hear this sometimes. Well, preacher, I just don't feel. By the way, anytime you start something like that, it's a terrible thing you're going to say next. I just don't feel like going to church. Well, there's times I don't feel like coming either. Right? I mean, it's muzzleloader season and these deer's running like crazy. But seriously, I don't feel. Or I'll hear this. This is where we miss it. I just don't feel connected. When we say that, you know what we're doing? We're trying to connect with the wrong person. We don't need to be connected with a pastor or even someone else. You know who we need to be connected with? God. We need to be connected with Him. Maybe you're here and you're just cold and you're not on fire like you once were. I wonder how many times sitting in that prison cell, Paul had to sit there and he had to go play back in his mind that day when he was on that road to Damascus as a lost sinner headed to hell. persecuting Christians, and then Jesus showed up. Sometimes, oh my goodness, I'm about to take a lap around this place this morning, scare some of y'all to death. 9 o'clock service, a lot more lively than y'all. But sometimes we got to go back to that day. Do you remember who you were? For God, save your soul. Man, I just do. I think about it so often. I think about the when I didn't have peace. I think about when I was looking for fulfillment in all those places that I thought the world would bring it. Emptiness, man. I remember even being saved for a long time, trying to get fulfillment through the works that I would do, through my standards, through all those things. And I found the same thing that saves me is the same thing that sanctifies me. It's a relationship with Jesus. I just want to encourage you, man. Some of us need to just do this. We just need to fall in Jesus all over. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. Some of us need to just fall in love with him. We need to stop looking for fulfillment in all these places. And we need to look for it in him, because he's the only one that can fill that hole in your heart, saved or unsaved, this morning. You know, he's the one who can make a difference in your marriage. I wonder how many of our families today need a new daddy in their home. We need to let Jesus make us one. I wonder how many moms in here need to be a new mom. We need to let Jesus make us one. New husband, new wife, new church member. I mean, some of us need to get back to where we are. Are we living in the last days? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. We need to be living like we are in worship. Somebody said, prophetically, preacher, what has to happen for him to come back? Nothing. Any moment. Man, may we live our lives for his glory. If you're here today not saved, listen to the invitation to come grab stew. Man, we'll hook you up with somebody that can take a Bible here in just a minute and show you how you can be saved. If you're away from God and you need to get things right this morning, you can pray at your seat. You can pray at an altar. We're just going to sing two verses this morning. I'm going to have Elizabeth, if you'll go ahead and come. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, let's stand to our feet. And I just want you to think that.